All right. Thank you, Barry and Brooke. We appreciate it, and I hope you know he's touched you and made you whole. Amen. All right. I've got a late prayer request just turned in. Got a note here to pray for Maxine Lang. She's had a stroke. This is turned in by Sister JoJo. And many of you remember Maxine and Charles in the early years of our ministry here, worked with us a long time. Originally got saved here at church. And Charles has gone on to be with the Lord some time ago. So pray for Sister Maxine and the family in that situation. Open your Bibles tonight to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 10. And I'm going to be reading a short text, and I'll try to put a little bit of it in context in Hebrews chapter 10. Talk to you on the fast approaching day. You see it in the text. The fast. I believe it's moving fast. I really do. Somebody says that's just because you get old, your time passes faster. Could be. Somebody said life is like a roll of toilet tissue. The closer you get to the end, the faster it unrolls. No need to deny it. Some of us are closer to the end. Amen. Amen. All right. That's the only funny thing I intend to say tonight. So I hope you enjoy it. All joking aside, these verses we're going to read tells us what to do. Somebody says, well, you know, you preach about all the bad stuff. Well, I apply the Bible to what's going on in the world, and it's not good. I mean, it's good that the Bible's ahead of it, but it's not good what's going on in the evil times that we live in. Yet, these verses tell us what we ought to keep on doing. We don't throw up our hands and quit. We don't give up. It tells us what to keep on doing. So in Hebrews chapter 10, of course, we have pointed out here to us that the one sacrifice for sin, the one offering for sin, has been perfected forever. That's in verse 14. Book of Hebrews is talking about how better things are, better than the Old Testament sacrifices, better than what the Old Testament priest could offer. We have a high priest in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it keeps on making that comparison. And it tells us in verses like verse 17, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. And there's no more offering for sin in verse 18. And with all that in the context, we drop down to verse 23. I'll take for a text tonight, verse 23 through 25. It says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Now notice all that verse. Don't just get off with provoking. Don't stop there. Provoke unto love and to good works. Some of us are better at just provoking. In verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. That's why I say I want to preach to you on the fast approaching day. You know, the text speaks of a certain day, and it gives instructions in view of the fact that it's coming. Now this text is spoken to you and I that are saved. Hope you know that. And the good part about it here, and I'm always amazed how the Bible just condenses a great big truth into just a few words. And in this verse, it's amazing to me. It's spoken to the saved. It's good advice for us. And yet it is so accurate and so current to the day and time that we live. It says to begin with here, I want you to notice, not to forsake something. Now, if you're not forsaking something, that means you've been doing it before. You'd first have to be doing it or have it to forsake it. Understand that? So it's saying not forsake something. Now, what is that something? The text says the assembling of ourselves together. That's what we're doing here tonight in church. In church. Not around the TV. Not even around Landmark's radio station or the internet. Now, folks out there doing that, I hope you're doing it because you would have a problem getting to church. I hope you're not doing it because you're lazy. I'm thankful that we can reach further than this auditorium. I'm thankful that we can reach around the city and around the county and around actually the world as far as the reports we get all the way back from the mission field. I'm real proud of that. But you know where I have the biggest problem is with some folks that are close enough to be here and healthy enough to be here, but they rather it's just easier to sit in the easy chair. And the command is to not forsake the assembling of ourselves. That's what the command is, and it's talking about the local church. And by the way, the Bible is always talking about the local church. Do you understand that? We live in a day and time when everybody, and I've had folks come to this church and act like they were church members here in the sense of either telling me what to do or what they like or what they don't like or what I ought to do for them and didn't do for them. I want to say, hey, wait a minute. We're busy taking care of our members. Where do you get a claim on us? Well, I'm part of the church, not this one. It's a local, visible church. And when you go through the Bible, that's what you find Jesus started. That's where you find the epistles written to the local church. And the truth of the matter is, it's talking about the local church that Jesus started. He said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And we need to understand the gates of hell are trying to prevail, but they're not going to win. They might appear they are, but they're not. You know, the devil don't want you and I to know how victorious the church really is. We can sort of say, well, you know, bad stuff happening, struggling to pay the debts, people dying, people leaving, and woe is me. No, wait a minute. If you could see it from the eyes of Jesus, you'd see it victorious, because one day it's going to march down the streets of glory with the flags flying, and it's going to be victorious. Amen. And somebody says, the church has failed. It's not reaching the world. No, we're doing just what God said. We're giving them the opportunity to make a choice. Amen. But the church, the local church, ought to be the head of all ministries. We got a lot of ministries here. And some folks, boy, are they wrong. They think our ministries make money. What a joke. Except for those offering plates and what's put in them when we assemble together, we couldn't have a Christian day school or college or just keep on naming the ministries. Because the church subsidizes in the sense that we see the bus ministry, for instance, as an outreach. Somebody said, well, I'll run buses if it don't cost me any. Well, get rid of that idea. It's going to cost you if you run them. But if you're trying to do something like reach souls, then you understand that's what it's all about. But the church is ahead of all the ministries. That's why when we bring the tithe, we ought to bring it to the local church. You say, but Mr. Slick on TV has really got a strong appeal. Yeah, but your tithe belongs in your local church. 1 Corinthians 16 tells us that we're to bring it on the first day of the week. As God has prospered us, we're to lay it in store. And that's God's plan. And let me say this, you won't improve on that plan. You'll get in trouble trying to go around that plan. I'm seeing some faces right now. They were older folks. It was a couple I reached a number of years ago. They were in my church. There was a con going on in the county, a religious con. There were some religious fellows are going around selling investments. And when I found out about it, I only found out about it when they already got in trouble with the law and in the newspaper when the law was catching up with them. But I found out that in my own congregation, they had gone out and conned that older couple out of their nest egg. I mean, took it, they lost it, They had to go back north and live with the kids. They were too old to earn any money, and they lost it all. You know what they should have done? Come talk to the pastor. You ought to be careful about that, folks. The local church, the local pastor, he's got your heart. He'll look out for you. And in that particular case, my wife will think about it. She knows some folks that also done the same thing. It was not in our church. But the whole thing is, the devil is out there to get you in a place of safety is God's house with God's people. You need to watch out for that. Now, it says, not forsake, but some do forsake. We're in that age now. There's no doubt about it. Our kids are being taught opposite of what they're being taught in church. Society, the culture is going against the local church. There's no doubt about it. And churches are compromising by thinking they've got to become worldly to reach the world, and that's not the way you do it. You don't get in the hog pen with the prodigal. You get the prodigal out of the hog pen. You got to stay clean yourself. You got to stay on solid ground yourself. And that's what the local church it ought to be. Listen, I see these signs in front of churches, and you got these shadowy figures like they're wiggling around to rock music. That's on the signboard. And then you go inside, and that's exactly what they got, the psychedelic lights and the whole. And listen, I got news for you. You may draw a crowd, but they didn't come to worship Jesus. There's a sexual thing there. There's a perverted thing there. And there's a blasphemous thing there that's involved in that sort of stuff. And it's just not right. And by the way, they claim, well, we reached somebody. Maybe you did, maybe you didn't. But it's never right to do wrong, to do right. And the end does not justify the means. And you have to be careful in that business today. I mean, the bad music, the wiggling around and all that fits the bar better than it fits the church. But here it says, not forsake something. That's the assembling of ourselves together. Now here's the positive side. When we attend, there's a purpose behind it. I know, sometime you come to church and say, I didn't get anything out of it. Well, maybe it was the preacher's fault, and maybe it was your fault. Why you didn't get anything, somebody else might have got blessed. From the same message, from the same word. You see, it's how you relate to something. I heard a preacher say not long ago, he said it was raining. He said there was two men standing in the rain. He said one of them was mad and the other one was happy. He said the same rain was falling on both of them. He said, what made the difference? He said one of them, and where's Jack Nixon up in the balcony? I'll give this to you, Jack. One of them was a golfer and he was mad. But the other one was a gardener, and he was happy. Same rain, two different attitudes toward it, amen. You can come to church and get nothing sometime, but it might be your fault. The truth is, somebody else did get something. And as a preacher standing at the door and shaking hands, and I've done that for 48 years now, I find out that the same message that blesses one, somebody else is not happy with it. Somebody said the same sun that melts the ice hardens the clay. And sometimes it works that way. Now, the positive side is if you come with the right attitude, you'll get something. And it has a purpose. What does the text say? Exhorting one another. Amen. That means encouraging one another. Saying, attaboy, you can do it. You can get the job done. Push on. Don't give up. Don't quit. Exhorting one another. I don't know about you, but I need that. And when you come to church, there's a spiritual bond, isn't there? Don't you feel almost as close or closer to somebody in the congregation or many in the congregation than you do your own family? Especially if your own family is not saved. There's kind of a wall there if they're not saved and you're saved. I mean, there's a big, big difference, but the fellowship is sweet when Christians are together and they love the Lord and they can exhort each other and they can be united in a spiritual bond, and we all need spiritual food. I'll tell you this, a man will never grow in the Lord after he gets saved if he don't get into a good local church.
Amen.
That's God's table. That's where we feed off of spiritual food. It's very, very important that we have that. And I see some that run from it. I'm amazed sometimes the way folks try to fool a preacher. Now, I know I must get fooled a lot because I catch a lot of them trying that don't fool me. You know what I just said? Yeah. I've had people that maybe heard me on the radio, knew they should have been here, but they were not here, but they came in as the service was entering, as the service was ending, and came to me and shook hands like they'd been sitting out there. You said, nobody'd do that. Don't kid yourself. You said, how you know they were not here? Well, number one, I didn't see them from up here. Then I'm going to let you out on a big secret. Some of you may not like this. There's a camera behind that thing up there. How many of you knew that? Some of you didn't. And you know what that camera does? It takes your picture. Some of you are just barely laughing now. You're just barely forcing a little giggle. You say, you mean that thing might catch me asleep? Uh-huh. It might catch me talking to my neighbor? Uh-huh. Might catch you doing a lot of things. But on Monday morning, we don't get to do it every Monday, we're so crowded, but almost every Monday morning, we look at the film. Say, why? For attendance sake. See, best we can. It's hard to keep up. Listen, when you got a bunch of church members and they're here and there and you're trying to say who was there, who was not there, and who was that visitor, and all, and my wife, and some of them do a lot better job. I only get in on it once in a while, but I got news for you. If I'm suspicious of you, I can look it up. Boy, oh boy, somebody's gonna miss sleep over that tonight. But there is a positive side to coming to church. It's the fellowship. It's the spiritual food. And don't run from it. When you skip it out on God, you're not hurting God. You're hurting yourself.
Amen.
And all of us need the preaching. All of us need the admonition. All of us need the exhortation that comes from being together. We need the bond of fellowship that helps. And so Jesus knew what he was doing when he started the local church. He didn't start General Motors or some business. He started the church. And he did it because we need it. It's not just to reach the lost. It is to also empower us to go out. And by the way, truthfully, nowhere in the Bible are the lost commanded to come to church. You and I that are saved are commanded. And then we are commanded to go out with the gospel and take it to them. And that's God's plan. It'll work if we work it God's way. That's what Anniversary Sunday is about. We're going to go out and try to get somebody to come in and get as many saved as we can. But don't run from it. We need to help each other in it. You know, I wouldn't be preaching 48 years if when I got saved in church, somebody hadn't took an interest in me. I can think of two men, and many of you will remember Brother David Fowler. Brother Fowler was our school principal here for a while. It's amazing how God brought it around that the man that helped mentor me after I got saved later on worked for me on my staff for years and was a great man of God. And many of you here in the building, he was a help to you and a blessing to you. He was to me in the early years. When I got saved, started teaching 11-year-old boys class in church fair soon afterwards. And of course, we had a visitation night, just like we do here, just like same night some of y'all should be at and aren't. Anyway, if I got in from work late, and I didn't make it on visitation night, Before that night was over, Brother Fowler would be knocking on my door to see what was the matter. Now, you know what? I don't know that I appreciated that every time he done it, but I sure do now. I recognize that's what probably kept me going. I remember sitting in church after I'd been saved a while, and of course I was an outside worker, bulldozer operator, and hot rod driver, and all that business. So I come to church just with a ordinary clean clothes, work clothes quite often, dress clothes maybe. And on Sunday night, when the crowd got smaller, the ushers doing the ushering, and Brother Luther Waters, and many of you remember him, Brother Luther Waters came to me and he said, "We are usher short. Will you help us tonight?" And I'm just sitting there beside my wife. I said, "Brother Waters, I can't. I don't have on a tie. I don't have on a, no, I just use that for an excuse." And Brother Waters was not a big talker, but he was a deep thinker. The next Sunday night, he came to me the same way. And I told him the same thing. He said, "Come back here a minute." I walked back to where the ushers had a little box back there near where the bulletins was passed out. He lifted the lid on that box, reached in, and pulled out a bow tie. Buttoned my shirt and put it on me. From that day on, I ushered. And I was cute with a bow tie. It had a little clip on it. You didn't have to tie it. You just snapped it in place. And so, I don't know how long I wore that bow tie. But you know what? That helped me grow in grace. When I first walked down the aisle with an offering plate, I thought every eye in the building's watching me. You know what I found out? There wasn't an eye in the building watching me. They didn't care about that. And some of you that might be a little bit shy, listen, just forget yourself and do the job. That's all there is to it. Whatever job it is, if God's not wanting to show you off, he's wanting his work done. That's all. And you get over this thing of everybody watching you. No, they're not watching you. Just go on and do the work for God. And church helps you grow. If it hadn't been for those two men in my life, I don't know that I'd have stayed faithful to God. I know God used them. And some of you he's used. And he wants to use a lot more of you. Spot somebody that just got saved and give them some time. Give them some attention. That's what the church is all about. I mean, it's somebody says, "You know, I went down there to Landmark and I saw the worst sinner down there." That's where you ought to be. Yep. Church is a spiritual maternity ward. We want to grow people. Well, we want him to get him born again. Get him born again like the baby's born in the hospital. But he's got to have some growing time. And he's got to have some nourishment. And the church ought to be a spiritual maternity ward that feeds them and grows them. And next thing you know, that person grows to the place they'd reach somebody else. And that's what God's plan is with the church. There's a positive side to it. You know? And then it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a help to each and every one of us. And the day is approaching. There's an urgency to it. Time is running out. You heard me preach this morning. You hear me preach. You see on the news. You know I believe with all my heart we don't have as much time as a lot of folks think we do. The day is approaching. And that ought to... that ought to be a warning to us. I read somewhere, it's been quite a while, I read about two young ladies, single young ladies that went to a big snow lodge up north. A lot of snow, and they were going to have a great trip and fun. And after they got unpacked in the snow lodge, it was a pretty day and the snow was outside, and they decided they'd take a walk, and they were warned by one of the guides, "Don't leave the lodge too far. Occasionally there's a polar bear wanders by. Don't get too far from the lodge." But they ignored that and they began to walk. And way on the horizon, they saw something moving, way off. And one said to the other, "You reckon that's the polar bear?" And the other one said, "Oh, I hope it is. I want to get a picture." And they kept moving toward the polar bear. And all of a sudden, it dawned on them, the polar bear was moving toward them. And they panicked and ran, but they were too far from the lodge. And the polar bear caught one of them, killed the girl and eat most of her before the other girl got back to the lodge and got help to come. They saw the bear approaching, but they didn't take warning in time. They didn't act on it in time. They wanted to get a picture. They ignored the warning. I'm saying to you folks, this verse says to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. It's fast approaching. It's fast approaching. What day is it? Well, it's the day of Christ, yes. But for you and I that are saved, it's the day of the rapture. Catching out, the gathering together with Him. His return for you and I is going to be a little earlier than it's going to be for the Jews. We know the tribulation period is going to break out, and we know all about that, but we're expecting to get out of here. We don't know how bad it's going to get before we get out. We're expecting it to happen. I preached that for years. A lot of folks haven't liked it. I've had folks say, well, that's just the way you see it. Yes, it's the way I read from the Bible, and I can say this positive and for sure, I'm closer to that return than I was when I first started preaching it. And I do believe His coming is near. How near, I don't know. Months, years, I don't know. Minutes, perhaps, who knows? But I'll say this, there's a lot of people that are in the know in America that are giving some big warning signs right now. Some of them in our intelligence departments, in Homeland Security even. And I know a preacher that knows a number of them and is getting information that you won't get on the news. And that preacher is saying, if the rapture don't take place, we better get prepared for some tough times that are coming soon according to what our own intelligence community is telling us. So there's a day approaching, folks. There's a day that we ought to be warned about. And you see it everywhere. The nations are aligned. I say that all the time. But they're aligned, and they're aligned by the same names given in the Bible and right where God said they would be in the days before His return. You can't ignore that. I'll say it over and over, and I hate to keep repeating it, but it's a fact. You see the signs of nature, and the signs are more than we can enumerate anymore. Do you know it's interesting that the population explosion has been big. Do you know we're approaching, well, we've reached it. We're not approaching it. We have reached 7 billion human beings on earth. Do you ever look in the Bible and see that God's number 7 is His number of completion? Amen. Things are coming down to a conclusion. And the population problem with millions, literally millions, starving on planet Earth. And I feel for that. I feel for the refugees, the genuine ones. But as I told you this morning, it's a Muslim plan. It's an ISIS, Islam, caliphate plan to take the world by coming in with the refugees. And when I was talking with somebody back there tonight, Detroit, for instance, is just about gone. And many other cities, many of them already having to practice Sharia law. And ladies, if there's anybody in the world ought to be against that, you ought to. But that's moving in now. And far as the signs go, everywhere that you want to look, that is the case. How many of you, talking about the refugees coming in, how many of you, and I've been known to do it, just to relax even sometime, catch an old black and white cowboy movie on? Now, there's a good thing about it. Back in those days, they didn't let them cuss. Back in those days, the only thing nude in the movie was the horse, and he had a saddle on. Amen. So they were not all that bad. And they couldn't do the action with a computer, so some real human beings and real horses had to act it out. So I'm defending my cowboy movie. But did you ever see in one of those old movies where they had a whole lot, I have to explain my scientific words, lot, corral, you got it? Fence around a place. Everybody with me? Full of horses. Amen? Did you ever see the men not wanting to be detected get in among the horses and stampede the horses? And when the horses ran out, they ran out with them or hung on the side of them or something. Do you ever see that? All right, so you're more advanced in science than I thought you were. Anyway, that's what's happening with the refugees. Here comes a whole herd. Who's hiding in them? Who's slipping in? Don't kid yourself, that's happening. That's why so many of them are young men without families. And of course in Germany you saw what happened in the last little bit, the news. Hey, that's not unusual for that crowd. That's part of their religion. Get off into that. See, rape is one of their weapons. It's one of their weapons of terror. But the signs are everywhere that that day is approaching. The earthquakes, never like so many. 2 million have been killed. More than that, just in the last century, more than ever before, more. They say there's an earthquake happening on the Richter scale somewhere, one every minute. Now, it may not be a big one that makes the news, but there's a shaking somewhere every minute on the Richter scale, and that used to not be. And yet Jesus said in Matthew 24 there'd be earthquakes in divers places, different places, everywhere. And we're in that day and time. Jesus is coming. The days of Noah. By the way, a lot of talk about E.T. today, right? Do you know that E.T. showed up in the days of Noah? Genesis chapter 6, you can't make it anything else. Fallen angels, yes. Bad signs everywhere you look. And then you saw in the news recently. I'd love to backslide just enough to get my hands around that mayor's neck up there in Philadelphia and squeeze till I couldn't squeeze no more. Did you see that in the news? That Muslim with a Muslim robe on ran up to the police car and shot 13 times and tried to run away, and thank God that policeman got out and shot him, and I'm glad he hit him where he hit him. Hit him in the bleep. It was enough, they caught him anyway. Slowed down some of his motion. With all that said, the police chief got up there and said, "We got the man. He said he was connected with ISIS. He done it for Allah. And his mother said he's a devout Muslim." And the mayor steps right up there and says it had nothing to do with Islam. Yeah, he needs joking. Amen. What in the world? It's crazy what's going on. Don't believe the eyes. Don't believe the ears. Don't believe the truth. Believe the political correctness and the propaganda that's being handed. What a crazy thing. You see, we've moved to one of the signs, the lawlessness. That's our day and hour, where the attack on the police is open like you've never seen. And what we got, folks, let me see if you understand this. We've got a fifth column inside America. Do you know in World War II when they talked about a fifth column, what they were talking about? See, soldiers basically march in four columns. The fifth column, they're talking about a spy in the camp. They're talking about a traitor. They're talking about somebody selling out from the inside. We're being sold out from the inside. We got a fifth column. We got the craziness that never was in America before. In all our other wars, we were for America first. Now we can't even identify the enemy. what a crazy time we've moved into. But then the final sign that we know the day is approaching, the return of Christ, is the lukewarmness of even God's people. The last church listed, the seven churches over in the book of Revelation, chapter 3 over there, you read about the Laodicean church. You know what's wrong with the Laodicean church? Apathy. It's lukewarm. It makes God sick on his stomach. And I fear today, too many churches have become lukewarm. You know, when I first started preaching, if I could have shared with a congregation the information that I am sharing today, we'd have been so fired up, we'd have jumped up and ran out winning souls right and left. I mean, if I could have said this and this and this and this sign and this sign and this is all happening, Jesus is coming, everybody said, let's get fired up. But now we say, preacher says, open to Nahum, and you say, ho-hum. Too many of us, we sleep on. God have mercy on us. Jesus predicted it. He said in Luke 18:8, when I come back, will I find faith on the earth? He said it was going to get cold. Now I believe his church is going to stay until Jesus comes for it. I believe there's going to be good churches, and I won't mind to be one of them. I believe there's going to be good preachers. I believe there's going to be good soul winners and good church members still doing God's work until the trumpet sounds. But there's a hole, there's a laxness, there's an apathy, there's a lukewarmness that's moved in to Christianity. Otherwise, do you know there's 60 million, according to the stats, there is 60 million registered Christian voters in America. 60 million. Now, wait a minute. That sounds good. How come we can't put good men in office? Listen to me. Only 30 million showed up to vote. Half. That's the lukewarmness I'm talking about. That's the coldness. We are getting, I hate to say this, folks, we have already gotten and we have been living with the government we deserve. Because we didn't do when we could have done. That's sad, but it's true. It's true. It really is. I ask you this, in view of all this, we're told to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. As the manner of some is, we recognize a lot of people forsaking the house of God. We recognize that. But it tells us, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. That's what I'm doing tonight. I'm exhorting me, I'm exhorting you, and it says, much the more. Keep it up, preacher. Much the more as you see the day approaching. It's fast approaching. It's coming. So what am I going to do? Am I just going to sit down and say, I'll watch it come like the girls watched the bear until it was too late? Or am I going to do what I can do while I can do it? I say to you tonight, be more faithful. If you plan to be more faithful, do it now. The day is approaching. I'm saying to you, if you're going to win a loved one, do it now. The day is approaching. If you're going to get saved, do it now. The day is approaching when you won't be able to get saved. You know, a lot of people hear the word, they hear the gospel, they hear the truth, they understand, but they procrastinate. I read the story, and I think it really happened. It was in a village, and I think in Europe, earlier days, a Christian village pretty much. There was an older Christian couple that had come by some wealth. They had a burden to reach the lost people in their village. And it was tough times on the average person. They knew that there was a number of people in the village that owed debts. So they put up a big sign in front of their little business in town. And it said, on a particular Saturday morning, everybody that will come from 10 o'clock till 12 o'clock will come inside. The man's sign said, my wife and I will pay their debts off. Well, on that Saturday morning, there was quite a little crowd gathered outside that place where the sign was. And They talked about it. They looked at the sign. They said, couldn't be. Got to be a catch to it. Just got to be a catch to it. But after a while, one entered, and another one entered, and finally another one entered. But the rest of the crowd stood out and kept talking about it. Just couldn't be true that they'd pay off my debts. Finally, the clock hit 12. And the few people that went in came out with a big smile on their face. And the crowd said, what happened? They said, they paid off our debts just like they said they would. Oh, we're going in. Nope, too late. Door shut. 12 o'clock, too late. Let me make an application. There's a lot of folks that got a debt, a burden of their own sins. And we tell them the gospel, how that Jesus, if you'll come to him, will pay them off. He did pay for them on the cross, but you got to come to him about that, let and accept it, the payment he made. And there's a lot of folks hanging around churches, hanging around outside, reading the sign, I could have my sins paid for, but they never come to Jesus. And the day's approaching when the door's going to be shut. The opportunity's going to be over. I wonder tonight, just coming to church and hearing about it won't get you saved. Not just through your head knowledge. You need to step inside with Jesus. You need to come to him personally. If you will, he'll do what he said he'd do. He'll pay for your sins. He'll write your name down in heaven, justified as though you never had a sin. Oh, that's good. But just don't hang around the outside. You need to come on in. Come on in. The day is approaching. It's fast approaching. Father, may you add your blessing tonight in Jesus' name. Let's stand. Invitation. God's spoken to you. If you hear you're not saved, I want to tell you, come on in. Come to Jesus. He'll pay for your burden of sin. He'll pay